All of us that God has gathered in this church has a special calling, mission, on our lives toward the people in this neighborhood, in this city. Now, even secular organizations over the last decades can paste up a mission statement on their walls, on the letterheads, and on their websites. And even non-believers can also use the word mission. Oh, my mission is to be the best mechanic in town. Well, we Christians have a calling above all of these callings. We have the mission to bring the good news of the kingdom of God to everyone. Because every human being on this earth is an image bearer of the triune God. But unfortunately, not everyone knows it or acknowledges it. There's a foundational scripture that is the behind this mission statement that we read in the contemporary testimony, and it's the basis of our text today. Luke chapter 24, at the end, it tells the story of the first Easter Sunday morning and what is going on in the troubled hearts and minds of the followers of Jesus. We read about the violence of that weekend and all the activity around the empty tomb that Sunday morning. The resurrected Jesus presents himself unrecognizable to two followers on the road to Emmaus outside of Jerusalem. Later that day, these witnesses meet up with the other disciples to tell them the exciting encounter that they had. Jesus appears in their midst to prove his resurrection. Gathered with these disciples, who stood lost, fearful, and defeated after witnessing the Messiah's crucifixion, they are listening to Jesus give them the big picture of the Heavenly Father's salvation plan. We read Jesus' very own words to them here in our text, Luke 24, verses 45 to 49. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Humanity, from the fall of Adam and throughout history, have made a destructive mess of life on this earth before the face of God. In our sin, we have brought shame and disorder on ourselves as image bearers and through us upon everything in the creation that he so beautifully made. Believers and non-believers in the God of the Bible can't miss looking around and seeing that calamity and what this disorder is leading to. As Christians, part of our mission calling is to be bold, yet compassionate, about naming this calamity that we are in and disorder that is all over the globe. One Russian friend of mine, he lives in Russia, models that truth-telling in the face of danger and threat. I wrote about this in my April newsletter. You might have missed it, might have read it. Sergei is a pastor my age. And we meet every time I travel to Estonia to encourage our partners in the region. Sergei was pulled aside at the Russia-Estonia border last year to be interrogated. I know what a panic attack is, and that would give me one, but listen to Sergei. They ask, "What's your attitude, sir, to the special military operation that's going on in Ukraine?" Without a flinch, Sergei asserted, "Certainly what's going on in Ukraine is tragic. As a Christian, as a pastor, I see this through God's eyes. This is a time where a great accumulation of sin is now meeting its consequence. Its consequence. If God wanted to end this, he could do it tomorrow. Something he's doing with humanity. Now is the time to check our hearts and humble ourselves before Almighty God. The young officer deeply listened, maintained respect, and dismissed Sergei to cross the border back home. God's elect, like Sergei, like you, like me, we've had our minds opened to the picture of what God sees, are now on a mission and are joining him in this work of renewal. Repentance and renewal. So that's what this contemporary testimony, this hymn-like expression of the Reformed faith of our day, accents when it clarifies what our mission is. There's all the central issues of the biblical story centered on Jesus in this statement. The kingdom of God has arrived. The renewal of the whole creation from the power and the effects of sin after the crucifixion and his resurrection is coming. And here we are, the church, his chosen vehicle to bring that renewal. The gospel sets us in the middle of the story, the true story of the whole world, a story that gives purpose and meanings in our lives. Now, the gospel story is not what sometimes is said the primary goal of the gospel is to save one individual or another. Of course, that happens when one comes to salvation. It's true, and this is happening as a change, a renewal of that person, as an implication of the good news. But the bigger picture is bigger than one person. The story begins with the beginning of all things, when God created all things. Under his gracious and loving reign, humanity rebels, and God, through Christ, brings healing for all to be restored. And the story ends with the healing of all things. Ours is a very bold and audacious claim that this is the true story of the world. This is what human life is all about. This is where the history of the world is headed. And this is what's true. God's purposes are being accomplished through our lives. We have been redeemed through this work, and we are people blessed to be a blessing for the sake of the world. A story from life in St. Petersburg. Late December 2017 was a man named Konstantin Kostya, we called him. He was rejected by his family upon leaving prison. No options for him to work. He found himself in a crawl space, a shelter, under a five-story apartment building. Pastor Jamal's outreach team had the habit of searching these types of places for their ministry. They shone the light down there and they found him, scraggly Konstantin with a long, long beard, covered with lice, bites, and filthy blankets. Cleaned, treated, and well-fed for a New Year's feast meal, the Holy Spirit made him open to the message of renewal and new life, new chance at life. Jamal's team took him out and brought him to the New Year's dinner, clean, shaven, well-dressed. Well, this past summer, so that's 8 years later, Kostya wrote me a letter on WhatsApp, sent me some pictures. Dear Gary, to the brothers and sisters in Calgary, although you've never met me in person, 5 years ago, God used you to change my life. I just came back from Calgary, Alberta, because I'm visiting the churches and One particular church took an interest in Kostya 7 years ago. So to the church in Calgary, says, "Your generosity and faith allowed me to get a theological education. This summer, I defended my diploma, and I got a bachelor's degree in Christian spiritual care and psychological counseling. This summer, this is part of your obedience to God. Gary, you helped share my story and my need to your friends in Calgary. Just came at the right time and answered a prayer. Your church, although separated by great distance, became an example of true Christian unity to me. Thank you for your trust, your sacrifice. May the Lord bless each one of you abundantly and multiply your ministry. With deep gratitude, your brother in Christ, Constantine." Many stories like that. But even before his diploma, before his ordination last year as a church deacon, Constantine had spent all those years growing as a disciple in Christ, saved from the edge of death, and being a testimony of renewed life in gratitude to his Savior. He's a daily missionary at work around the city and on outreach Saturdays. Constantine is today in the company of Jesus Christ, in the family of God's redeemed, because one day God used the church, like yours, to sweep him into recognizing the work of Christ. Christ's glory is not his miracles, his wonderful sermons, his turned upside down work that he did on Zacchaeus. Oh, those are great. But his glory and his victory lay in the path of his suffering and death and his resurrection. We, as his followers, are called, as Constantine has been called, to take up the cross and to follow Jesus and to prove that we are his disciples. Our identity is as a missionary church. Mission is not one optional activity that a portion of the people are engaged with. We are a body of followers. Jesus is always, and we are always seeking to put Jesus on display, the gospel on display, and especially in the culture and the place where he has called us to be. Our world doesn't really accept the reality of spiritual forces at work. And the Apostle Paul said to the wise philosophers in Athens, "From one God of heaven and earth, he made all the nations that they should inherit the whole earth, and that God even determined the allotted times and the boundaries and the places where they would dwell, that they should seek God and perhaps feel him out and find him." We are the people, too, who are being spoken about here. Us, our children, our grandchildren, the generations after us, and all people from around the world who are ending up here in Kitchener, Ontario, maybe even in the skyscraper that's going up right off your property. Mission begins in Jerusalem and also right here in Kitchener, Jesus says in the last chapter of Luke. Verse 48, "We are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." Surely we are clothed with the power of the triune God, having the presence, the leading, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. Looking at the second half of the Article 41 of the Contemporary Testimony, we know that we see what this kind of witnessing looks like and what the Holy Spirit calls us to do. We read again the second part. "The Spirit calls all members to embrace God's mission in their neighborhoods and around the world, to feed the hungry, bring water to the thirsty, welcome the stranger and clothe the naked, care for the sick, and free the prisoner. We repent of leaving this work to a few, for this mission is central to our being." So the local church is the embassy of God on earth, the platform from which the Lord God advances evangelism, discipleship, and mission. We can't do mission without the church. The church is the aim of missions, in one sense, because here is where the worship of God is most fully expressed. And we don't see the Great Commission disconnected at all from the church. It's the mission given to the church. So, we are all missionaries. True, there are the frontier types, the pioneer missionaries, Galena and I, hoping to get back to Europe. Those who want to go someplace where Christ isn't named and to put a stake in the ground and herald his name and gather disciples, then roll up their sleeves and get involved in doing the amazing thing of forming churches. Yeah, God blesses you and us. God bless all of us as we put our stake in the ground wherever he has placed us. And whatever situation where we carry influence and responsibility, so that our lights will shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a moment of transition where we can show the work that you together are doing with us in the Russian-speaking world. And we want to thank you for 25 years of journeying with us. The last 4 years have been great learning opportunities for us to be in the Canadian context with you and to see mission in action and to be part of all sorts of learning teams with CRC churches who are meeting the nations right here in the doorsteps of your churches. And but the focus, the few minutes I have left, I want to just focus on the things that we have going in Russia and Ukraine, Russia and Estonia at this time. So if we could get the slide projector ready to roll these PowerPoints, we got a few minutes to go. So we are standing at that point, please, the next plan that we have to kind of round out, finish out our missionary career is 3 to 5 years to live in the Baltic countries and serve there. Next picture, please. You wonder, where's the Baltic countries? Well, here they are, a little strip of three countries right to the west of St. Petersburg, Russia, in the very northwest of Russia. And these are very small countries, 1.3 to 3 million people, small, but each of them have loads of Russian-speaking people in them. Up to 40% in Estonia are Russian-speaking people left over from Soviet times or people who left Russia in the early 1990s when there was a time to leave freely. So we are focused on Estonia just because it's a hub where we have already been working for several years. Next. And here I was this last April. Pastor Arthur is in the process of inviting us to work along his side. He is a Methodist senior church pastor who's been a believer and a leader in the country for 30 years. Back one, please. And 2 years ago, George DeVeist and I, we gathered together all kinds of people together who are Russian speakers, and they participated in a Healing Hearts Transforming Nations ministry, which I know your church is familiar with. There's Pastor Arthur on the side. He hosted us and for 3.5 days. Next picture. The basic idea of Healing Hearts Transforming Nations is that with biblical foundations, we learn that we bring all of our pains and all of the hurts to the cross of Christ. But that first has to be exposed and brought out and brought to one's knowledge what it is that Satan has stolen from every people and nation of the earth, which is done on the paper in the middle. And finally, bringing all those to one another, confessing to one another, and also bringing it to the cross of Christ, symbolically burning it there at the cross. So this was a great experience, and we would love to see this happen as soon as this war is finished. Next picture. This is April, some scenes of what my 2 weeks in Estonia was, visiting Pastor Arthur's church over Easter weekend, having the opportunity to preach there. Next. And also in Estonia, we have Pastor Pavel, who we have worked with for 9 years inside Russia, but also since 2018, we've been working with him in his church plant in Tallinn, Estonia. These are some Ukrainian refugees who, after discipleship in Pavel's church, were baptized this past summer. Next. Here is your own team members, Pastor Carol, visiting a year ago, and some other team members visiting a church plant about an hour and a half away from Tallinn. And there is Pastor Pavel and his church planter friend, Pastor Sergei. Next. Well, what would we do if we got to Estonia? We would help generate a movement of church planters. If you look at your November banner, you'll see the whole story of Multiplication Network. And John Wagenfeld met Galena and I 10 years ago. And since then, ourselves, as well as the team pictured on the right, have expanded church planner training across 10 different countries all over the Russian-speaking world. So read up on that in your banner. Next, we would like to advance that more in Estonia. So that's Multiplication Network. On the left side here is pictures of graduates of the program in Siberia and Pastor Alexander. Another thing we want to advance in Estonia is something that was homemade by us in Russia, Faith and Work Ministry, and it's now going global. Yesterday and Friday, Alexei was in Belarus for the first time, teaching how a Christian can apply his Christian faith and practice in the workplace. And so he is expanding ministry there, and very little of it is found on the website that Estonians or Latvians are using this material. So the website needs promotion. We would love to work on that. Finally, if Healing Hearts Transforming Nations has an opportunity to come to the surface again, we would be ready to bring that to the ministry in the Baltic countries. And then who knows what other ministries our partners might find. We would love to be 5 years again serving in Europe. Next slide. The final issue to be solved, and we're praying, and you people are praying, is that Ludmila, my mother-in-law, Galia's mom, will be able to join us. We've got all our paperwork in place. We just don't have something for Ludmila. And Ludmila is Russian, and these little countries on the side of Big Bear Russia don't allow any more Russian people to come in. And it's going to take an act of God to make it happen. And so we've got other avenues to make appeals, and we're working on that week by week, and we'll keep you updated on how that goes. So thank you. Thank you very much for all your support, your prayers, your care for us, and we just hope that we can continue to partner together. Amen. Shall we pray and have a prayer of application for our service? Heavenly Father, we praise your name, Lord, that you have given us eyes to see what your mission on this earth is, and that you have given us a foundational role in the work of spreading your gospel. Lord, we thank you that you find us worthy, and in the many ways that we have seen mission displayed, carried out by young and old members of this congregation and friends of this congregation, we thank you, Lord, that you have blessed this work, this ministry, and we ask you, Lord, that you will also just help us to see the full gospel being shown right from the beginning of the picture of the fallenness of our nation, of our country, of our humanity, and the desire to bring restoration through the cross of Christ. And so we ask, Lord, that you will bless us as we go from here, and that we be equipped, encouraged, that you are with us. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.